We're certainly thankful that you're here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we hope that you'll come back and be with us again at every opportunity that you have. And I'm thankful to be with you this morning. Those of you who don't know, I had on November the 1st, I had a heart catheterization with two stents, and then on November the 13th, I had another heart catheterization with a balloon surgery and then two stents. So I'm grateful just to be here, and I'm doing very well. I appreciate your prayers and your thoughts and phone calls and emails and all the attention that you've given to Becky and I. Also appreciate Alan and Ron filling in for me last week. I know that they did a great job. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but Becky has been doing some quilting. Now, that's not her quilt, but she's been doing some quilting, and some of her quilts are looking very good as well. But I came across a quilter's prayer that I wanted to share with you on this occasion. Guide my hands to work as your hands work, to know the power of your love in every stitch I make, in every thread I knot. May my hands be guided by the same love and care with every quilt I make, knowing that this love and care was and is and will continue to be a gift of blessing to the one it is intended for. May the works of my hands be pleasing in your sight, O God. Lord, bless my work today. As I choose materials and patterns, may I be reminded of the uniqueness you blessed us all with. As I cut each length of thread, may I be reminded of the doors that must be closed in our lives so that a new and stronger door may be opened. As I twist each knot, may I be reminded of a bond of love so strong that nothing will break it. As I run the thread between my fingers, may I be reminded of the times you have touched my life, my heart, my soul. As I sew each stitch, may I be reminded of the love and care you put into each of our lives. And as I add my last stitch, tie my last knot, cut the final cord, may I be reminded of the completeness with which you commanded in each of us before we were ever given to this life. In the words of wise Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Certainly there are things that each one of us want to do and need to do for the cause of Christ in our lives every day. And as Alan mentioned earlier, I'll be preaching the sermon from Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. At least we'll be looking at that next. Truly a psalm of great thanksgiving unto God. I know that Thanksgiving is past, but there's never a day in which we should not be thankful to the Lord. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. I believe that we need to look for the good in everything. Reading the quilter's prayer reminded me that When we really open our eyes, we can see God's goodness in everything. You might remember the song, Count Your Many Blessings. And we can't count them. There are just so many ways that God has blessed us. And we do need to stop, however, and we do need to try to remember them and on a daily basis, and we do need to thank God for them. But his blessings certainly far exceed what we can think or what we can imagine. One of the great hazards of abundance is the tendency to eventually adopt an attitude of ingratitude. The more we have, the more we think that, well, maybe we brought ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Maybe we deserved all of the things that we have, and nobody should take them away from us. They don't belong to anybody else but us. And we see this attitude throughout our nation and throughout the world, actually. If we compare what we want with what we have, we will always be unhappy. If we compare what we have with what others have, we will always be envious. But if we compare what we have with what we deserve, we will always be thankful. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul wrote, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Do you spend more time thanking God for what he has already given to you? Or do you spend more time asking God to give you more? Make every day a day of thanksgiving to God. In Psalm 122 in verse 1, the psalmist said, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" I can't help but wonder, what has brought you to this house of worship this morning? Is it just tradition? Is it just custom? Is it because you're supposed to be here? Well, certainly we are commanded that we are to worship God every week, every Lord's Day. Is it joy in the Lord that has motivated you to attend worship services this morning? Is it an attitude of praise and thanksgiving to your loving God? Although God has commanded us to offer up this corporate worship to him, the attitude in which we offer our worship determines whether it is acceptable or unacceptable to God. The psalmist tells the whole earth to shout for joy to the Lord. And he says to worship the Lord with gladness. We're also told that we are to come before him with joyful songs. I get the distinct impression that we're to get excited about worshiping our God. And much of this excitement and exuberance for the Lord is squelched by our worship of the world. If you really want to throw Alan or one of our other song leaders off, then while he's leading singing, smile. You look out at an audience and we're all so solemn. I guarantee you it'll throw our song leaders off if you smile. A song of praise, a thought of exuberance in worshiping God. Worship to God is not to be burdensome. It is not to be out of guilt. It is out of joy and gladness. I believe that worship results in knowing the Lord and being known as the Lord's. How well do you know God? Now, it is true that we can only know God to the extent that He has revealed Himself to us. In Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. Yet there is so much more that we can know about God. If we will just spend time with Him, time in prayer, time in studying His Word and meditating upon it. There was a woman who gave one of her friends a book. And the friend did not find the title nor the author to be very interesting. And yet several years later, she had the opportunity to meet that author in person. And she found the author to be an extremely interesting woman. When she went home, she got the book off her bookshelf. She dusted it off, and she began reading it. It was the most interesting book that she had ever read. And why? The words were the same. The difference was that she knew the author personally. We need to know God personally. And He certainly revealed enough about Himself so that we can know those things and be so grateful that we have God as our Creator and our Savior, our Lord, and our Father, our loving Father. So why should we worship the Lord with gladness? Again, we have so much for which we should be thankful. No matter how many problems that you may have, God has given you so many more blessings for which you should be thankful. The psalmist depicts the worshiper under the law of Moses entering the gates of Jerusalem and into the outer courts with praise and thanksgiving. The holy city and the court area indicated the very presence of God in His holy temple. Of course, we know that God does not need a physical place from which to rule and that He cannot be confined to a house of worship. But we also know that God is with us this morning. He is present with us today as we are worshiping Him. Heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. That tells us how big and how mighty and how wonderful that God is. And yet, we're not to think of God as aloof. God is right here with us. In the book of Hebrews, we learn that God offered Jesus Christ as the perfect sin sacrifice on our behalf. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 16, through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Notice He says, through Him, through Christ, through our Redeemer, through our Mediator, We don't just offer thanks when we sit at the table, even though that's a wonderful thing to do, a thing I think we should do. But we continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Through our lips. God has given us lips. God has given us the voice so that we can turn and we can praise Him for all that He has done for us. And then don't neglect doing good to other people, because that's what God is all about. Showing love, showing mercy to other people, and in like manner we are to do the same. The Lord truly is good, isn't He? It's okay if you smile. He's truly good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. And how true I know that to be, and all of you know that to be. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. Certainly, as we're thinking about giving thanks to God every day, we too can say, as the psalmist did when we're called upon to come and worship God, I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." If you did not come with joy in the Lord this morning, I pray that you will leave with joy in Him. I pray that it has been good for you to worship God today, and that you look forward to worshiping Him every Lord's day. God is so good. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord, if you need to be baptized into Christ for the very forgiveness of your sins, or if you need the prayers of the congregation as we pray to God that your sins may be forgiven, if we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?